Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity for us to come together to praise, to worship, and honor you. Father, we thank you for each person that is here and for the safe travels. Lord, open our hearts and our minds. May we remember that we're here to bring you glory and not ourselves. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.
Well, let's go ahead and stand and worship.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. And I would be set free. Sing for all that you've done for me.
Who brings our chaos?
Who brings our chaos back to order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
This is
amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. Amen. You know, this is one of my favorite times, is the My Three moment. And I was trying to think about what I wanted to say this morning. What do I feel like God? And a lot of us have had parents, moms and dads, who set this example for who we are to pray for. You know, a lot of us, not everybody, but a lot of us were blessed in the sense that we had parents that prayed for us daily, that prayed that we would go into relationship with Jesus and they would did their best to raise us in such a way. And what we have this opportunity for with our My Three is carrying on that and praying for others in our world, in our communities, our friends and our families around us, that they too may come to know who Jesus is, that they too may come into relationship with Jesus, remembering that he's the one who transforms them, not us. Our job is to present the gospel, to pray for them, that God may come and do a new work inside of them. So if you're new here and you're not quite sure what My Three is, we have these little cards that you can get out there, and you put three people's names that you know don't know Jesus. And you're to take that card, put it in your wallet, put it on your mirror, put it in your car, put it wherever you're going to see it daily, and pray for those three people every single day of your life until they come. And last year, we had a lot of people, and we've already had a few this year that have come to Jesus. We had people that were 20, 30 years that been prayed for that came to know Jesus last year on that list. So at this moment, what I want you to do is I lead us into prayer. I want you to pray individually for those three on your list. And I want to pray for you guys corporately, because there's power in prayer, and we know that Jesus is the one that transforms lives. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love. Father, we thank you for the way that you make all things new. Father, we have people in our lives who don't know you. And Father, we want to lift them up to you, knowing you're the one who transforms them. You're the one that brings that joy that surpasses all understanding. You're the one who gives us peace. And Lord, we know that you do not want one to go without knowing you. Father, so at this moment, we lift up our three. We lift up those three people in our lives that we know need you to come into them. Father, I pray for each person here, that they may have the wisdom to speak and they may have the wisdom to hold their tongue, that they may be good representatives of Jesus, and that they may bring you glory, honor in all that they do. And Father, that we may continue to press in for our three and to never stop seeking you, because we know that you answer prayers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just continue to worship.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into spoken, I am forgiven.
Trust the sweetest frame,
holy trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone.
In Christ alone. Cornerstone. Weak made strong. In the Savior's love. Through the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
My anchor
holds within the veil.
Worship you.
worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You are here.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are. In the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Waymaker.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
One more time.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Oh, Father, you are so good. You are the Waymaker. You are the miracle worker. We just thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy in us. You are so good. So good. You guys can go ahead and be seated. All right, who can tell me what is today? Yes. Mother's Day. Did you guys do anything for your mom? What did you guys do for your mom? Come on over here, guys. Come on over here on the floor. So what did you guys do for your mom? Come on. What did you do for your mom?
I gave my mom and my dad gave my mom a cup.
You gave her a cup? Mm-hmm. Moms need to drink. Yes. Yeah, right here. Nice. Chocolates and cards. Did moms, do you guys like that? Chocolate and cards? Yeah, okay. What else? Nice. Yes. Lilac trees. Now, that would be something my wife would really like. Yes. A bracelet. Wow. Well, you guys know that your moms really love you, right? And that's why we're celebrating Mother's Day, is so that we can show them how much we love them. But you know, no matter how much your mom loves you, and no matter how much your dad loves you, I know someone that loves you even more. Do you know who that would be? God, that is right. You know, and the cool thing, what I have today, do you guys like jelly beans? Do you guys like jelly beans? Well, I have these little packs of jelly beans for all of you, but here's the deal. Jelly beans actually have some colors to them, right? Just like all of us have like different colored hair, different shoes on, different parents, right? All these jelly beans are like that as well. They're all different. They're all different. And they all represent something. And you guys are going to get this little card, and it's called the Jelly Bean Prayer. Have you guys ever heard of the Jelly Bean Prayer? No, that's crazy. Well, let me read this for you, okay? It goes like this. And you guys are all going to have this card, okay? So it goes like this. Red is for the blood He gave. That would be Jesus dying on the cross for us. Green is for the grass He made. Orange is for the edge of night. Black is for the sins we made. White is for the grace He gave. Purple is for His hour of sorrow. Pink is for our new tomorrow. And it goes like this. A bag full of jelly beans is yummy to eat. It's a picture, a promise, a special treat. It helps us remember Jesus' work complete, gives us hope beyond any earthly sweet.
Good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning. I want to say again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are here today. I hope you guys have something special planned for the mom in your life that's around for after church service today. I also want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, all the ladies who were moms to us, even if they didn't give birth to us. I know that there's several people that have stepped up in that way, even since I've moved out here, and I'm much appreciated for that, and I'm thankful. I want to welcome everybody else who's here this morning as well, our guests and our visitors. I also want to welcome those joining us online on the radio. We are glad that you're here and that you joined us in this way. But before we dive into the message this morning, before we get going, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship you, to honor you, to learn more about who you are. Lord, I ask that this morning it is your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I pray if I say anything that is not of you, that it may fall on deaf ears. Lord, I thank you for the way that you provide and for your words. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to continue in our Life of Christ series that we've been at. We're actually going to pick up where we left off last week. You know, we were over in Matthew chapter 10 for the last couple weeks, and we're going to be starting in verse 26 this morning for those who want to get your Bibles open. And one of the things that we've seen as we've dived into Matthew 10 is we've seen Jesus preparing his disciples to send them out onto the mission field. He's been preparing them to be able to go out and do the calling that we all have. And he's been telling them what they should do and what they should expect when they get out there. And those instructions weren't just for the disciples. Those instructions are for us as well. They're things for us to live by. You know, they've been instructions on how to treat others, how to engage others, to encourage others to look to Christ. And then last week, we were reminded that not everyone may receive the message of hope that we have to give. Not everybody may be gracious in receiving that. That in fact, that we should expect pushback, that we should expect persecution when we go into the world. When we proclaim the name of Jesus, there's going to be people who are immediately going to step back when they hear that. You know, Jesus told the disciples last week that I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. That there's going to be people waiting to devour us when we go out, to try to bring us down. You know, we were even told that in the text last week that sometimes there's going to be anger that comes out of it because of what we represent. And you know that the world likes this idea of Jesus. They like the idea of Jesus being this kind person, right? They like this idea of this Jesus that lived a good life, this Jesus that reached out to the poor, that Jesus that reached out to the innocent. They love Jesus who ate with the sinners, who healed the blind and restored the demon-possessed man. They love the Jesus that was there for people no matter what they faced in life. That version of Jesus the world likes. That version of Jesus I like. And it's clearly in the scripture of things that Jesus did. But this idea of Jesus who calls to live us in a transformed life, who calls us to leave our old way of life behind and follow him, that's the one that the world often presses again. The Jesus that says, now go and sin no more, that's the one the world often doesn't want to hear about. Yet they are the same Jesus because Jesus would come in and love someone where they're at, show them the true way, and then call them to go and sin no more. He called us to live that transformed life when we come to him. And last week we were reminded in the text that there will be people who don't like us simply because of his name. Don't get me wrong, sometimes people don't like us because of us. Okay, let's be clear on that. That's not always for that case, but there are often times. I know a friend of mine started a new job, and when they went to the job in the first day or two and they were going around and they found out the position that my friend held within that company is one of being a Christian leader for them, there was an immediate pushback and withdrawal from different people. This was a secular place, but she would run the religious side for the mental health. And there was immediate withdrawal from different people when they heard her position. And last week we were reminded that there are times when people hear that name of Jesus and they're going to go after him
or they're going to dislike him simply for the name. You know, Jesus closed out the passage last week in verses 24 and 25. And he said, a disciple is not above his teacher or a slave above his master. It is enough for a disciple to become like his teacher and a slave like his master. If they called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? Persecution is to be expected just as Jesus suffered during his time here on earth. We too are going to experience persecution and sufferings as followers of Christ. Our missionaries that came this last week gave us great examples and helped paint this picture of what our brothers and sisters around the world actually face. That persecution is not the exception in a lot of areas in the world. We don't understand what persecution is like here. But around the world in different places, it is the expectation to face persecution. You know, they share that there are brothers and sisters in Christ in some of the areas in which they minister that have to truly count the cost of following Jesus. Because what does it do? It costs them their family. It costs them their friends. It costs them their society. That many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, when they come to Jesus, they actually lose their jobs. That when their bosses find out that they're Christians, they're pushed out of their jobs and made a new way. That if they have an apartment or a place that they're staying at, they come in and they actually up the rent and they do different things or remove their, take away the lease that they had so they have no place to stay. And this is happening over and over again. We don't have to deal with that here, thankfully. But our brothers and sisters in Christ in some areas of the world have to deal with this on a regular basis. And we even have, they even talked about that there are those who, when they move over to Christianity, they're killed. You see, when they say yes to Jesus, they understand the high price that they're paying. They understand the difficulty in which they are moving their lives into. But they also know there is no greater joy than that moment when we find Jesus. There's no greater joy than that transformation that happens within us when Jesus comes into our lives. And they're willing to count the cost. And how many of us are willing to count that cost at that moment? How many of us would be willing to publicly cry out that we're a follower of Jesus if we knew it would cost us our jobs, our homes, our families, our friends, and everything else? You know, in the text this morning, as we continue through the series, Jesus continues to instruct his followers, and he instructs us on how we are to respond in those moments of persecutions, that moment of difficulties in life. Jesus gives us those examples this morning. He doesn't just leave us high and dry and trying to figure it out on our own. Instead, he shows us what we're called to do, how to interact and where to place our hope when we face persecution, when we face difficulties in life. Jesus gives us instructions on what to do. He instructs us on what to do when fear comes knocking. You know, we all have fear in our lives. Each and every one of us have a different fear that within our lives. One of the areas that fear is often is in sharing our faith. We get scared of sharing our faith. This idea of being bold for Jesus is a difficult one at times. Being bold for Jesus is challenging in the society and the culture that we live in. How will people respond when they hear that we're a Christian? You know, I've seen people who even go as far as they try to get away from that word Christian, and what they start doing is they start saying, well, I'm a Christ follower, I'm not a Christian. Guys, it's the same thing. That's what Christian means. The reason this is often done, though, is that they do it out of fear of how society will respond to that word Christian. When you call yourself a Christ follower, when you call yourself a Christian, and that you take God's word seriously, we're worried and we try to change different ways. How will people find out that we take our faith seriously? How are they going to respond? It's another fear that we find ourselves in, that we actually try to walk out the faith that Christ has called us to. When we try to live our lives by the standards in which God has given us, doesn't mean we do it perfectly, but when we have a desire to do such, understanding that those instructions that God has given us are not there to limit us, but they're there to protect us. They're there for our own good. And yet often in our society, we're told to do what? To keep our faith to ourselves. You know? And you know, there's two things that we're told not to talk about at the dinner table, right? In polite conversation, there's two things you don't talk about. Politics and religion. Those are the two things we're always told. Because we're scared it's going to upset somebody. So what do we end up doing? We keep our faith to ourselves, which goes against the very thing that God has instructed us to do. You know, in the Great Commission, Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always till the end of age. We are told not to let fear hold us down. Instead, we are to go into the world proclaiming the name of Jesus, not to keep it to ourselves, not to keep it hidden. No, we're supposed to let our light shine so the world around us to see. You know, it goes back to that little children's song we learned growing up, right? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to sing it for you. I won't torture you this morning, but that's not what we have. But we're told not to hide it, but to be bold for Christ, remembering that it was he in us that we're supposed to show, to not allow fear to rule us, to not allow the fear of the world to rule over us. And then Jesus says in the opening verse this morning, verse 26, he actually says, therefore, don't be afraid of them, since there is nothing covered that won't be uncovered and nothing hidden that won't be made known. Jesus starts off with saying, don't be afraid, don't be fearful of the world, don't be fearful of the things in the world, don't be scared by what they say, don't be scared of the things that they may do, don't be scared of the persecution that you may face, and know that it's easier said than done. I'm very aware it is easier said than done. I think we all want to be bold for Jesus. I believe everybody here, for the most part, have a desire to reach our friends and family for Jesus. And you're sitting here this morning and you can think of the people on your My Three list that you know that if they only came to Jesus, their entire life would be transformed. Their entire life would be radically different if they only came to Jesus. And it would help them in ways that at times is even hard to put into words. Often in the world we live in today, though, when we present the gospel message, there are those who are doubters, there are those who want to reject it and don't want to hear it, and they will take our words and they will twist it and they will say that we're hateful and unloving. But here Jesus is reminding his disciples, he's reminding us that nothing that is covered, there is nothing that is hidden that won't be made known. The truth will come out in the end. It doesn't matter what persecution we face. It doesn't matter what people say and how they twist our words. A time will come when all truth will be revealed. You know, the Bible reminds us that there will become a time where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is God. It doesn't matter whether someone's accepted or rejected God, this place on earth. The moment will come where everyone will confess that. Our job is to tell the world the truth about who Jesus is and to do it boldly. And it is the world's job to respond whether they accept the message or not. The decision is on the individual person. It's not up to us. And that is them who face those consequences then on whether they accept Jesus or reject Jesus. That we shouldn't be fearful about proclaiming the gospel message, even if they reject it and twist it. The truth at the end will come out. Jesus continues in verse 27 and says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in a whisper, proclaim on the rooftops. The word dark here is not a picture of sin, but a picture of privacy. What Jesus is telling his disciples inside of this moment is those things that you've learned from him, those things that they learned from Jesus as they were with him in those private moments, they're called to take that out and proclaim it and speak it into light, to let the world know, to not keep their faith to themselves, but to share it with everyone around them. That same thing goes for us. The things that we've learned by reading God's word, those things that we've learned by coming into the church and gathering with each other, those things that we've learned by being in Bible studies and in Sunday school and just in our general day-to-day life and spending time with God, we are called to take that out and proclaim it to the world around us so that all may hear the good news of Jesus. We're supposed to proclaim that message of hope, and we're called the tickets of the world. Remember that the world around us is in darkness, and we have a message of light. We have a message of hope, and we're supposed to share it with everyone. In that same way, he reinforces it when he says, what you hear in a whisper, proclaim it at the housetop. What he's calling us inside of that moment is what we've heard this Holy Spirit speak in our lives. When we've heard him who's transformed us from the inside out, we're supposed to take it outside and we're supposed to claim it from the housetop, making sure that everyone can hear it. And when he says housetop, let me help you understand the picture a little bit better. You know, in Jesus's day, the housetop was sometimes the highest point in the town. Be the highest point. And if you want everyone to hear the message, what do? You say it from the highest point. You proclaim it out where everyone can hear it. When we deliver that message, and what Jesus is telling his disciples to do, and he's telling us to do inside of that moment, is make sure that we proclaim that good news of Jesus, that hope of the gospel. We're supposed to go to the housetop, not being picky about who hears that message. When we go to the housetop, everybody hears it. We're not being picky about who we tell it to. We just go out and we proclaim it. We're not choosing people that look like us, talk like us. We're not choosing people that may be good Christians from the outside of our appearance. No, when we go to the housetop and proclaim the gospel message, it's for the entire world to hear. It's not being selective. It's so that no one is without excuse, remembering that God doesn't see what man sees. Instead, God sees the heart of man. He doesn't see the outside. And Jesus wants all of mankind to come to the saving knowledge of the work that he's done on the cross, to make a way for each and every one of us to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. Yet so often, we allow the fear of man to hold us back from proclaiming that gospel message. So often we allow the fear of man to keep us from sharing the good news to the world around us. We fear the implications. We fear that what may cost us in a work environment. We fear what it could cost us in our family, in our social society. And we worry about how people may look at us and that we may have friends or family abandon us. And I'm going to tell you, that does happen. When I came to Jesus and I started to live the transformed life that God had given me, I lost friends. But God has replaced them tenfold. And he's given me peace. Jesus reminds us in verse 28 that don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What Jesus is getting at is that we should not fear the things of this world. We should not fear what the world can do to us. That shouldn't be our focus. Instead, what Jesus is saying is that we need to shift our focus. We need to shift our focus from things of this world. We need to shift our mindset to things above. Not to worry about the body, which is expandable. We know all of us one day have to face death, don't we? Each and every one of us. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we do. In the end, it's something we all have to face. Our bodies are but temporary. Instead, what Jesus is saying is we should be more concerned with the condition of our soul, which is eternal, which is what will face the judgment seat of God. Too often we don't focus on things above. We focus on things right in front of us. We focus on the things around us. We worry about what kind of job we have. We worry about if we're getting ahead in life. We worry about how others perceive us. We worry about the comforts of life. And too often we see Christians staying quiet in the difficulties in the world, not wanting to rock the boat, not wanting to upset anyone, scared of the persecution that they may face, out of fear of concern for our own well-beings, forgetting that Jesus said that we're called to pick up our cross daily and follow him. Forgetting that our reward is not found here on earth, but in heaven. And that comes down is about because we forget our value. The reason that we sometimes get to this point where we focus on things around us and things of this world is because we forget our value in Christ. He's created each of us uniquely to fill a role in the body of Christ. We forget that we're worth more than anything else here on earth. Did you know that you are more precious than gold and more valuable than silver? That out of all of creation, God chose to make us in his image. That God made no mistake when he made you.
You are so precious to our Heavenly Father, and you are exactly who He's created you to be. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world around us says that you need to do or all of that. What matters is what our Heavenly Father in heaven says about you. You know, Jesus said in verse 29, in all this, aren't two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent? You see, the two sparrows were the cheapest type of living food sold in the market. In fact, it was so cheap that it could be bought with the smallest, simplest copper coin of its day. It was a tenth of a day's salary, and it provided two. It had the lowest value in his day, and yet Jesus is reminding them that not even one of them can fall to the ground without God knowing, because he cares for his creation. And if our Heavenly Father cares that much about the sparrow, how much more does he care for us? Us who are created in his image. Us who he loves and wants a relationship with. You know, Jesus says in verse 30 that, but even the hairs of your head have all been counted. I want you to think about that for a moment. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, loves you so much that he can tell you exactly how many hairs are on your head. That he pays that close of attention to the little details of who you are. He knows what your fears are. He knows what your desires are. He knows who he's called you to be. And he made no mistake when he made you. And he wants to come into relationship with you. He wants to spend eternity with you. And he loves you so much that he was willing to send his own son to die on the cross to make a way where there was no other way. Jesus closes out this in verse 31, and he says, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus closes by saying, do not be afraid. That we shouldn't fear slander, that we shouldn't fear what the world says, that we shouldn't fear what our reputation may be harmed because of our faith. Because in the end, all truth will come out. He's reminding us that we shouldn't fear bodily harm, because even harm to the body, even to the point of death, is endurable and insignificant compared to the value of our soul. In fact, Jesus is saying that those who put their trust in him, that we have nothing to fear. And that we have so much value to our Heavenly Father. When we face persecution, when we face pushback and stuff from society, we shouldn't have anything to worry about, because of the fact that we've been made new in Jesus. Because we have that much value to him. We were created in his image. And as we go out this week, I want you to think about, what do you fear? What in your life is keeping you from walking out and being that person that God has called you to be? You know, he's created you, he loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. And he's made no mistake when he made you. And he's given you all the tools in the world to stand up and be bold for Jesus to the world around us, to call others to come and join us in this relationship, in this body of Christ, and bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. I want to encourage you this week to look at what holds you back from sharing Jesus, what holds you back from being that person that God has called you to be, because we have nothing to fear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the reminder that we have in your word that no matter what we face in life, that you are there with us, that you've equipped us. Father, that you've reminded us that no matter what we face in life, we are more valuable than gold and silver. And that you are right there with us. That we have nothing to fear because you walk through this life with us, even in the most challenging of times. Father, may we put our trust and hope in you this morning. May we know that we are valued by you. Lord, I thank you for who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and he trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. And next to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God
to all the moms that we have flowers available for you guys on both exits as you guys leave the building this morning. So please pick one up. That is our way of just saying thank you to all the moms out here. We wouldn't be here without you. Let's put it that way. And so as you go out this week, may God bless you. May he transform your life. May you seek him out. May you just know that you're loved and valued by him. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.